to what's called the fencing of the table. The fencing of the table is given in our directory to warn those who should not be at the table and to encourage those who ought to be at the table. And our text will be 2 Corinthians 7, 9 to 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." The offer of Christ is to everyone. Every man, every woman, and every child, there is a free offer for you to come to repent of your sins and turn to Him. But the offer for the table of the Lord is not so wide. The offer of the table is only for the Lord's people. It is only for those who have made a public profession of faith. It is those who are walking with the Lord, who are obeying Him, serving Him. And that means there are many in the world who come to the table when they ought not to. And 1 Corinthians 11 warns those who shouldn't be there. They come unworthily. They come to their own damnation, the judgment of guilt. But how do we know? Well, one sign is repentance. Have you repented? Because here, there are two types of repentance, false and true. The false repentant is sorrowful for sin. You can go out to the world, and when people do wrong things, often when people hurt others, they're actually sorry for it. Sons who hurt the feelings of their mothers are actually sorrowful and grieved. But they're only really grieved at sin when they're caught out. Give them an opportunity. Give them the promise that no one would ever know about it. The false repentant one will do it. They delight in their sin. They enjoy their sin. And they only feel bad when they get caught. Is that you? Are you only sorrowful for sin when you get caught? Are you living in secret, active sin right now with no real repentance? That one ought not to be at the table. One example. Imagine there was a man or a woman daily watching pornography. No one knows about it, but there's the enjoyment of it. But if they get caught, the shame comes in. And their shame is simply they've been caught. If that's you, that's not true repentance. But true repentance, Paul describes here. And the truly repentant have sorrow. They're grieved at sin. They hate their sin. I stand here as a sinner, and I'm coming to the Lord's table. The difference is, I am grieved for my sin against God. It's a godly sorrow. When I sin in my personal life, I am grieved I have offended God. That's true repentance here. When you do sin in your life, do you have a sense of sorrow that you've offended God. That's good. But it's not just about being sorrowful. That's not repentance. Repentance means turning, walking in one direction, changing direction and walking another way. And you change the other way because of the mercy and the love of Christ. You hate your sin, which is towards God, and you turn because you know the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. And the last part of true repentance is that you actively endeavor to follow Christ in obedience. Discriminate among yourselves. If you're someone who is in sin, and active in sin, in an ungodly way, and you're simply sorrowful if you get caught, this table is not for you. But if you are a professed believer who is a sinner, who hates your sin, has confessed your sin to Christ, and if you truly have, you receive full cleansing, full pardon, no condemnation, no guilt, your place is at this table. Now let it warn, but let it encourage. Don't think, but I have a sin in the back of my head. I don't know if I've truly repented of it. But if you're a Christian, you hate that sin, you have confessed it to God, confess it right now, and He will cleanse you right now. Come to the table. Don't let guilt be had. Don't let Satan tempt you. Just remember what we've heard a moment ago. But if you know you've repented of your sins, God is full of mercy and goodness, and He will forgive you. And your place is at the table. And we in the Reformed Presbyterian Church take a sign of a healthy, obedient Christian as one who is in the church, as a member, under the elders. And that's why we require only communicant members of churches to come. We don't restrict it to First RP. We don't restrict it to the RPCNA. We restrict it to communicant members of the church because they're brothers and sisters too. And as I look around, there's no visitors. There's communicant members of the First RP church. There's members of other First RP churches. And in case I forget anyone, but if you're a communicant member of the visible church and you're repentant of your sins, you are invited to the Lord's Supper. It is customary in the Church of the Reform to give what is called a table address, to encourage all the brothers and all the sisters here at the table. And my text will be from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, from verse 1, where the beloved Jesus says this to the believer: I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Here the man is Christ, the woman is the church. And the words of his lips are so tender towards the believer. He says he comes to the garden. The garden represents the heart, the soul, him coming to dwell by faith. The church is his sister by blood, for he purchased his people with his blood. And we are his spouse. Did he not die for the bride of Christ? Is the consummation not the marriage supper of the Lamb? Yes, it is, friends. That's what Christ says to you. That's what he says to me. That's what he says to every one of us who believe in him. And we are to remember him, because unless we do, we will not desire, we will not long for him. And I want to remember what he has done for you. This is Christ, whose habitation is in the heavens, who is rich in fellowship and love with the Father. And who are we but sinners? And he knows we are sinners. He knows what's in the heart of man. He knows what's in your heart. And he knows what's in mine. And how does he respond? Does he stay in his heavenly abode? No. He comes to save you in love. And the words of the poet, from heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. That's you. That's me. That's us. He was so ravished with love, he came to atone for our sins. And what has he given us? He's given us himself. Personal Lord, personal Savior, personal husband, personal beloved. And he gives you his own clothing. One of the marks of true Christianity, the Bible, is when you see someone naked and in peril, you give them clothing. What are our garments? Filthy? Stained? Oh yes. But he takes them off us, and we receive the garments of his righteousness, spotless, clean, washed in his blood. And for this, he desires you. He said at the very first Lord's Supper, with desire, I desire to eat this. Here it says in chapter 5, I am come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I desire fellowship with you. But you may have doubts. You may have struggles. I hope not, but it's a good possibility that Satan is trying to bring guilt and sin and shame to you and your mind. Don't let him. Don't let him go to the love of Christ. He's forgiven you. And do you want to know what Christ thinks of you and desires of you? Chapter 4, verse 7. Jesus says this to the church, thou art fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Before the eyes of Christ, you are beautiful, and there is no spot in you. Why is there no spot? Because you have him, do you not? I have many spots and blemishes, you know this, friends. And you all have spots and blemishes. But see, right now, I don't see any of yours, and you don't see mine. Because I'm not here in my own garments. I'm not here in my own self. I'm here in Christ. And so is every one of you. And when Christ looks upon you, he says, you are beautiful. There is no spot in you. And then he says in verse 9, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. Christ is in the ecstasy of joy when the eyes of his people are upon him in faith. We feel so weak, do we not? We feel so far away. My friends, do you know how much you please Christ with your faith? His heart is ravished. And so when we come to the cup and the brine, Do not have your eye on bread. Do not have your eye on the wine. Have your eye on him. Have your eye on what it means for you personally. And know when you do that, his heart will be ravished at this table. That's why he says, eat, O friends. Drink, ye drink abundantly, O beloved. And if you do by faith, your heart will be ravished by him too.